welcome to episode 90 of Two Piece Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray. 90, huh?
90. It's been a long time, Tim. Well, we got a great show for you guys today. I got a lot to talk about with Comic Talk.
I'm a little scared, to be honest.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, boy.
But we do have a couple calls lined up if you want to start taking those.
Sure, let's do it. Don't make people wait.
All right, we have Kevin on the line. Kevin Gaudiani, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Welcome to 2P Start Live.
Nice to talk to you, Kevin.
Hi.
So excited to be here. Hey, where are you calling from?
Overland Park, Kansas.
Very cool.
So, you got a question for us, Kevin?
What do you guys do to get good at games, and what happens when you're going to play a game that you played a long time ago that you realize you're really bad at now, and you just can't do it anymore?
To answer your first question, I lose my girlfriend, and then that gives me plenty of time to get great at video games. I don't know. I enjoy playing by myself, but I really enjoy playing with other people more, and so our combined effort makes us both better in the process.
Yeah, there's definitely some games that you really have to get so into to master that if you come back a year or two later, it can be fun to dink around on the thing, but it's like, I'm not investing all that time again. I'll never be right as good as I was before.
Are you thinking of Guitar Hero?
No, I was thinking more of Super Monkey Ball Target Mode. But
the GameCube.
For the GameCube, yeah. I spent so much time on that thing. It was awesome. But, I mean, when you can land on that little can, like 500-point can every time, like, I'm never going to be able to do that again, so.
Well, hey, Kevin, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, take care.
You too. Goodbye.
All right, we're going to be taking one more call here. Next up, we have Worm. Worm, welcome to 2P Start Live.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Worm had a question for you, Ray, on the website, and I don't think you answered it. How dare you?
It's been a long... let me tell you something. You...
Me?
Yeah, listen.
Uh-oh. Anytime Ray starts a statement like that,
anytime
you...
I get an email anytime we get a comment from the site. So, since you put up that post, like, hey, like, we've updated all the comments and all that stuff, you know? And, like, twice, like, we had, like 2 days in a row of, like, 77 comments. Like, I couldn't go, like, 5 steps without having, like, 20 more emails just pour in.
And they're all inane emails, right? Like,
yes,
testing.
Yes, exactly. Testing. And,
oh, I like
and
the
now,
yellow.
And, right. Now they're, like, since they're threaded, I can't see what they're replying to anymore. So it's even doubly worse in that respect. Well, hey, so where are you calling from?
You asked me the hardest question first.
This is, it really shouldn't be.
Actually, I've been traveling around a lot. I'm actually going to go back home to prepare for college. Okay. But I think I'm in D.C. right now.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
But normally you live in...
New York.
Hmm, cool.
And then college in Pittsburgh.
Wow, you really are all over the place.
Yeah, so did you have a question for this call?
I was wondering whether it's harder to get a comic out now that people are actually waiting for good comics, or whether it was hard at the very beginning where you had, like, not many readers and, you know.
Yeah, so in some ways, yeah, we have this huge backlog of comics to look back on and be like, okay, that's the caliber of comic we want to do every week. But at the same time, it is harder, I think, because I think we're playing less games now, for sure, than we used to. So it's, I don't know, and less time probably for both of us in our lives.
Yeah,
so
we really don't talk on the phone much anymore. I mean, we don't have a dialogue going continuously like we used to. So I would say it's kind of a perfect storm combination of things that are kind of dragging us down at the moment.
You know, if these last 5-6 comics were all horrible, I'd be like, Ray, are we just not funny anymore? Is it time to, you know, throw in the towel?
Right.
But I'm pretty happy with them, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I always enjoyed your comics because you guys aren't the normal teen crowd.
Right.
That their comics are. And, you know, living up in a more strict household, it's like, oh, I mean, I could grow old and still like video games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, oh my gosh, are you saying we're like role models?
Hey, maybe.
That's interesting. I've never thought about that before.
I'm okay with, well, Yeah, you look at the bulk of video game webcomics out there, and it's just, it is a lot of, like, childish or immature or irresponsible kind of humor.
Yeah, it's like people who never grew up, you know? It's like, oh, they're still 30, but they're still acting like they're 14.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, and especially since Tim bringing up that he has a wife and a baby, you know, it's okay to live a normal life and still, you know, play video games.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Interesting.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad that's kind of the feel that we give off at 2P Start, because it's not like we're pretending to be people we're not. You know, this is just
right.
Who we are and the humor that we have because of our experiences and all that. And
that's what always surprises me sometimes is I know, like, when John Watt started listening to the podcast, he's like, it's weird, like, you laugh the same way on the show as you do in real life. I'm like, yeah, what did you expect? Like, that's just, it's just me. Like, it's just me on the show. I'm not, like, playing a character.
Well, Worm, great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was great to talk with you.
Good luck in college.
Thanks.
Well, I know I've been teasing it, but do you want to get to comic talk?
Oh, brother. I better put a helmet on and some shoulder pads or something.
No. This week we had our The End of the End comic, number 130, which is also another big benchmark, in my opinion.
How many years of our lives have we poured into this?
It's like, it's kind of like The Matrix, okay? You know, you're plugged in. It's like we're plugged in, we're living it all the time, but then it's like, well, I really want to get out of it, but, like, when you disconnect, like, it's very, like, you can't handle it when you're out, you know? Like, you just can't handle it anymore. Like, oh, I'm gonna throw up and puke. So it's like, at times, I'm like, oh, I really wish, like, we need to stop. Like, we need to take a big break and get rid of this. But then I'm like, oh, man, if we stopped, like, I don't know what I would do with myself. Like, it's a weird battle we're fighting here.
Yeah.
I would like to have a guest comic happen sometime soon, though.
Okay, let's give Ray a break.
Yes.
I will figure that out for you.
Hey, wow, thank you. Wow. If only it was that easy for the rest of my life.
Yeah, well.
Hey, Tim, I really want a girlfriend. Okay, I'll get this figured out for you real quick. Oh, thank you.
Mail order bride from Russia or something?
Well, that didn't work out. I wouldn't try it again.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah, so the comic, I guess, where to begin?
I'll begin. I like the comic a lot, and of course the reception we got was not, you know, maybe typical, but if you take it in stride, I think at least half of the people liked it, honestly.
Yeah, it was pretty much split just half and half, yeah.
Honestly, this is the type of comic I like doing, not Pac-Man per se, but a comic that take something in a game or about a game and we kind of explain it in a funny way, you know?
Yes.
I mean this
idea though of like, oh, if you guys have to explain the joke, then it probably wasn't worth telling, you know? Baloney to me, first
baloney.
Of all. Listen, first
if
of all,
you don't
you
understand
need,
the joke.
You, it's like, you need to know who Pac-Man is. Like, some people might not know who Pac-Man is. Very few, but, I mean, it's like, okay, a lot of people know who Pac-Man is, so we can make a comic about that, because most people would be able to get it. But any, like, there's that certain barrier, you know, where it's like, it's funnier the more specific it gets to something. Like, you need to have some basis of knowledge about things to understand the joke, and some people won't have that basis of knowledge, so it's like, okay, well, here's that knowledge if you do not yet have it.
Right. We're not trying to explain the joke, like, do you see why this is funny?
Right.
It's funny because of this. It's
right.
Like, well, if you don't, you know, if you read this and you're totally lost, you know, here's what you would have needed to know. And yeah, it's not going to be as funny going back through the second time, obviously.
There's a serious balance that happens, because it's similar to, like, the Lost comic.
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
Like, you just need to know what Lost is, and then you can understand how it's funny. But if we had very specific Lost jokes in there, we'd be narrowing our field of people who would get it. Which doesn't mean it isn't funny. It just means a smaller amount of people will be able to get those jokes.
Well, and that's what happened, but not as many people were like, I don't really watch Lost, or I don't understand this, or they hadn't seen the Wii Sports Resort intro.
Right, and that's the difficulty, is deciding how specific do we want to get with things, what kind of jokes. I mean, that's the constant balance of the webcomic world for us.
I mean, I even look back at the 300 comic we did, the first one that was on Joystick's webcomic wrap-up.
Yes.
And I didn't really get it because I hadn't seen 300 at the time.
Yeah.
And it had just been out in the theaters like maybe a week or so. And so, I mean, that's really... I feel like we would not do that today. Well, I guess with a movie that big, possibly. But, you know, that's something we'd be cautious about. Like, well, are a lot of people watching this movie? Would they understand the joke there?
Because I had just seen it, and I'm like, that was a really big scene. Like, people, like, literally clapped and applauded when that happened. It was very interesting. I'm like, people will remember that scene. Trust me, Tim. We got to do it.
Yeah.
And that was also, like, I felt like that was going to be our big breakout comic. I'm like, I feel like we're on the cusp of something big here. Like, we'll finally break out and get some more attention. People will want to link this because it's timely and it has to do with a big movie. That was a long time ago.
And I look back and it did have that impact, but I look at it today compared to, you know, more recent comics, and it doesn't hold up, in my opinion.
Well, especially the artwork. I mean,
mostly the artwork.
And speaking of artwork, that's one of the reasons I had such troubles with this week's comic.
I was upset because people were... I mean, if you didn't like the comic, then, you know, blame me. But when people are, like, saying, oh, the artwork was copy and pasted, or the artwork sucked, or it's like, you know what? It's Pac-Man. It's supposed to be an arcade vision of Pac-Man. Ray's done this before. Why would he do a different style?
But here's the thing. We've done, like, 4 or 5 Pac-Man comics, right?
Yeah.
That was like the first comic where I couldn't do it any better than I had previously done it. Like, before, it was like such long pockets of time in between each Pac-Man comic. And this one was like, well, that was 10 weeks ago. Like, right. So it's a difficult place for me because I feel like the artwork held back the comic in a way. Because so many people are used to seeing the comic and seeing a visual upgrade from a previous iteration of that sort of that game, for example. And so I felt like I kind of let people down on that end.
And see, I don't know. I feel differently. Like, if you've already done Pac-Man, you know, as well as you can, then he doesn't need an upgrade. Like, Tim and Ray don't get a visual upgrade every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but you're happy with the way things about us get better.
Well, but every week, like, literally, you change something every week to make it look better.
It's over time, it kind of, that's true.
Yeah, over time, so if we were doing Pac-Man every week, he wouldn't look drastically different every time.
Right. So, this will take me to the suggestion box, because let me explain how this works every time I finish the comic. Here's what happens. My comic of the week is going to go to Beaver Boy, the first comic, and this is why. Because I'll work on the comic for like 6 to 8 hours, right? And it's 2 a.m., post it up, I'm really tired, I have to go to work the next day. I'm like, oh, well, I hope people like it. And I'll usually lay in bed, and just before I'm about to go to sleep, my iPhone rings with an email. Because it's like the first comment that was posted to the comic. So I always see the first comment, then I go to bed. Does that make sense? So it's like, so
you shouldn't do that to yourself, though. You should turn off your phone and find out in the morning what people think about it.
So it's like, that might be a good idea, because any time, like, I'll see that one comment and it kind of dictates what I assume the majority of people will feel the next day. And so Beaver Boy's comment was this: although I found the comic kind of funny, seemed kind of lazy. Just some reused artwork and a couple glow effects. I mean, the first panel is just rotated from the other Pac-Man comic, but with the pellets, ghosts, and Pac-Man moved. And the last panel is copied from the Wikipedia page, just with some glow on the corner. And yeah, I knew what a kill screen was before reading the comic. Kind of disappointing, guys. Maybe the death of Toopy Start is nearing? Couple things.
Ouch. That was upsetting to me. Is like, he's like, I found it funny, but Ray, you suck. I'm like, no, if anything, you don't find it funny. Don't say Ray's artwork sucked on this one.
No, he didn't say it sucked. He said it was lazy.
Well,
which,
yeah,
I could
basically
see. I mean, I could understand. Like, here's the thing. I could agree with him as the problem. Like, I would kind of agree with him. Like, yeah, you know what? I had a feeling. Like, that's kind of how I feel too. And so, like, here's what I think right before I go to bed is, why'd I just do any of that? Why'd I just spend 6 hours working on this comic? Like, it was like all for waste, all for somebody to be like, kind of lazy. Like, is the death nearing? Is the death of 2B start nearing? Which is funny. Like, anytime we have like a slight stumble in our stride, it's like, might be the end for these guys. I don't know. Like for some reason, having one comic after like four pretty good ones, you know, somehow indicates, oh, it's all over, isn't it? The death of 2B start is nearing. Like,
well, yeah, you can go back a year or a year and a half, 2 years, and find a good stretch of three or four comics, and then a good another bad stretch of three or four, you know. And I mean, my comment of the week would go to Firespark. He says, "Well, I personally find this comic quite amusing in that sort of, well, now we know way. To think that the kill screen appears because the ghosts have gotten thoroughly sick and tired of you making their lives a living hell is something I find funny. And if we extrapolate and combine this with what we already know, basically the high-end cholesterol comic, then we can see that not only is this an endgame scenario, but also a scorched earth policy put into action for the purposes of self-preservation."
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And it's like, you know, he liked it for the reasons that it was to be liked, you know, and other people didn't understand it, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So I will say one more thing about the comic is, ever since the Mario Steroids comic, ever since that week ended, we've gotten more praise for that comic than ever before. You know, it's like anytime another comic comes out that somebody doesn't like, they're like, "I actually liked the Mario one a lot." I'm like, where were all you people when that comic came out and made my life depressing? I was like so depressed that week.
I think they might not have been around.
Exactly.
I think it wasn't until they went back and looked through. See, that's the thing about our strip I find very interesting is so many people will read the latest comic and be like, "I don't know, it was all right."
Right.
And then like they'll come back to it later and they'll be like, "That was actually really good." It's like, for some reason, since it's the new one that moment, it's like your expectations are built up. It's like you somehow create this invisible want for what we're not going to be delivering ever. And so
right.
It's like, oh, like, it wasn't, it's like, it's only when you look back and see our stride, it kind of fits into the puzzle better, you know, where instead you're sitting there waiting for like the next gigantically awesome 2B start comic and you get that one instead, you know, it's very interesting to me.
Yeah, it is. So I think, you know, this could be the same way. We'll come back in a few months and people will be like, "Oh, I love that Pac-Man comic, right?"
Yeah, it'll be the new
Mario Steroids one.
The artwork
was amazing.
Yeah.
Because they won't be comparing it to the other Pac-Man ones. It'll be the only Pac-Man
one
they've seen.
Yeah, it'll just be one of the strips, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
All right, well, now it's time for a little bit of Rick-a-Rick-a Remix. With a segment I mentioned a video game remix favorite, who made it, and where you can download it. This week it's a remix from Mega Man 2. It's With the Quickness by AE. Take a listen to a short sample. Find this for yourself, just head back to the page you grabbed this episode of 2P Start Live from, or the link is right there for those of you listening to our M4A version of the show. It's time for our segment, Rise from Your Grave.
Rise from Your Grave.
We've got a lot. First grave riser is Elaw, who said, "I suppose I must be a Rise from Your Grave listener. I first came to the site when I finally followed the constant flow of 2P Start references that appear on the Spin Dash podcast. As soon as I could As soon as I could read through the comic archive, I started working on the podcast. As daunting as it may sound, I wasn't paying attention to the sheer amount of time I spent listening. I was too busy holding on to every word. I couldn't stop laughing as Tim failed to catch the chickens and sang Supersonic Racing. I nearly died of hilarity while Jessica puzzled over the creator of Metal Gear Solid, sent a ridiculous happy anniversary message, and sent angry messages about those dag-nab booth babes. You guys are awesome, and I don't look forward to reaching the end of the podcast archive, as that would mean I would have to wait a whole darn week for more 2-piece tart deliciousness.
That's great. It reminds me of all those old
yeah, seriously,
podcasts.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, I remember that when that happened.
It was, it's strange. It's really strange, yeah.
Wait till he gets to the election stuff, you know?
Yeah.
All right, well, our next grave riser is Thomas Shaped. Great comic, guys. I've also just risen from my grave. Mainly, just came to comment and say, even though it's not featured in this comic, your knobbly elbows totally creep me out.
Our next grave riser is VTN Wesley. Longtime reader, first time poster. I agree wholeheartedly on your comments regarding Sega. For years now, their favorite scam is to get a nice 20 to 40 second hyper reel, no matter how awful the game may or may not be. It's frustrating, especially because they could just take old games and do Xbox Live releases or something, a la Virtual On and Outrun, and have something good going. But no, we need innovative Werehog editions. And let's not forget, Knights isn't a game that needs a full 60 frames per second. A random 20 to 40 frames per second is enough to enjoy the sensation of flight in a colorful dream world. Sega needs to go away.
Crazy Special K. Hey guys, this is my official
Rise from your grave.
I don't remember which comic I started on, but I've been hooked ever since my friend showed me the Untold Origins comic, and have been visiting your site for about a year now. Since I'm posting, I had a question I wanted to ask.
Yes.
Have you guys ever considered attending or being a part of a convention to showcase 2-piece tart? I realize the answer is probably no, since this is only a hobby for you guys, and also since Lily was just born, but I figured I would ask anyway, because I, and I'm sure many others, think it would be awesome to actually be able to meet you two in person. I mean, I've considered the idea of maybe going to a comic convention like Comic-Con in San Diego or something. I know there's other web comic guys that go to different shows at times. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. It wouldn't be something that showcases 2-piece tart, but we might attend and have a booth somewhere down the road. But,
yeah.
You know, things are pretty busy right now, and, you know, we'll just have to see.
You could be there with Lily. Like, you could hold her in your arms. You could hold her up like the Lion King. Our last Grave Riser is Rosicky, I believe, who says, "Hey guys, Grave Rising here. Been following the comic for a couple months. Love it. Been listening to the podcast for a couple of days now at work, and it's great." See, he doesn't love it, but we'll work on that. Just listening, just letting you all know that the parking lot at the Minuteman National Park is clean once again, thanks in part to the help of 2-piece tart.
Yeah, I love that comment, because just the idea of some cleaning up a national park and listening to 2-piece tart live is just, that's awesome.
Apparently it only takes him about a half hour to clean the park. Well, hey, thanks to you guys for coming out of nowhere, which is surprising, because normally the Grave Risers show up for a really good comic.
Well, I think this tells you. This is a really
apparently,
good comic.
Yeah, so this is, my day is a little better here.
Yeah, good.
And now it's time for the most dreaded segment, the Black Doom Award. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the most atrocious character Sonic Team has ever created, Black Doom.
Yes.
And my Black Doom Award is going to go to, I assume, Activision for Guitar Hero on Wii. Here's the thing. Let me read you this from...
What is the thing, Ray?
Let me read this from... I would say, having done this show now, it's kind of ruined how I talk with friends. Because I start to get into that mode of like, hey, let me tell my story. Like, let me tell my Black Doom Award. And then you get your chance for a while. Like, I start to like... create a stage around me for people to listen, and then, like, hey, cool story, Ray. Vicarious Visions' Karthnik Bala, in an interview with IGN, said, "For Guitar Hero 5, we've implemented support for your global Wii friend codes. If you've got friends in your Wii address book, they'll automatically be added to your friends list in the game, so you can easily connect with them in online multiplayer games."
That's awesome.
It is awesome. So why is Ray giving this Black Doom Award?
I don't know.
Because where was this from the start? Okay, why, like, what's the holdup? What was the reason we had to have a double team of friend codes going on here? I don't understand this.
Oh, you mean how most games you have to have Wii friends and game friends, basically?
Yes, and including Guitar Hero games before then as well. Like,
well, it's sadder to me that Nintendo, like Mario Kart and Nintendo
and
games
Brawl.
Specifically.
I mean, Brawl has that. Brawl, but that's my question. Why was this even existing if it's possible not to do it?
I don't know.
What the heck?
It's awful. It really is so archaic.
Is it just Nintendo finally slipping up and be like, you know what? All right. You can take off the training wheels a little bit.
Well, Nintendo never explained why, as far as I know, what, you know, safety problems there would be with letting people only have one friend code to connect to their friends with. I mean, it's already a stupid system.
It's
you
like
can't
the,
even
the one
you can't
friend...
even invite people. You have to both have to enter the code in before you can be friends. You can't say, oh, I want to be your friend. Right?
Yeah. Right.
And then you have to do that twice. Once in the game and once on the system. Isn't that... I mean, it really, in my opinion,
it's like,
really ruins the experience
on
the
Wii. They might accidentally start playing with someone they've already both added to their friends list. I don't know if we want... You know what? Let's triple check this system real quick. I don't want them playing a guitar game where... I mean, especially with Guitar Hero, where you don't say anything to each other, do you? You just team up and you play against each other. Like, I don't know. I don't want bands forming. It's like what's going to happen to me? It's so frustrating. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, we've been able to do this now. Isn't that cool? It's like, yes, thank you. After 2.5 years or whatever,
it's about freaking time, right?
Good grief.
We can only hope that Wii HD... whenever it comes out, does away with the whole system.
Yeah, Hold my breath, Tim.
Don't hold it too long. Well, my Black Doom Award is going to go to, I suppose, Microsoft. I feel like we've heard a lot of really dumb businessmen saying really dumb things. Last week, your Black Doom was... What was it that guy was...
It was about Halo 3, right? Yes. Yeah.
Our features are that it's horrible.
Yeah,
right?
And then you had the one with Sega about Sonic and quality
okay,
just doesn't
so
start.
It's like
out of
everyone's brain dead now or something. So here we go. Ben Smith works on program management for Xbox Live, and he's talking about the new Netflix features on the update for the dashboard. Here's what he says. He says, "I think when people come to Xbox, they're not really looking so much for functional. They really want to have fun, and they want to be wowed." Are you kidding me? They don't want something that's functional?
Well,
they don't want something that works?
Well, I feel like maybe his definition of functional is...
something that doesn't look as pretty.
No, there's multiple options, and you have full function... You have full control over what goes on. It's like, I don't think people want something that's fully functional. They want just something that's fun and you can just jump right into.
Okay, yeah.
That's my interpretation. Otherwise, it'd be a very sad statement.
Well, it is a sad statement because what he's referring to is the fact that you still cannot browse for... when you want to instantly watch movies through the Xbox, you cannot browse for movies. You can't search or browse. You have to just kind of look at what they show you in their pretty cover flow-like looking thing. Or if you've added it on your queue on your PC, then you can do it. But... basically, they've stripped away all functionality so that you have this pretty look. And
so the idea is kind of like, you know, well, when people jump in, they want to just be able to have fun right away. And it's like, yes, but eventually they're going to want to see it functional.
Yeah, it's like,
you know,
if that's
eventually,
your first time...
That's the first step. So you need to design something that's both of those things. Like, and that's some of the beauty about Apple products is that they're really easy to get into, yet there's still enough depth to them that you can... continue to use and get kind of hardcore.
Usually. I would say sometimes Apple doesn't give you enough flexibility.
Yeah.
But the big problem here is, sure, you can fire it up and be presented with something pretty and kind of understand how it works. But then, yeah, you're going to be like, well, what if I want to see what other movies there are besides these 10?
Right.
What if I, you know, and that statement wouldn't be so awful if he's talking about, like, a game, like, when you play this game, you don't necessarily want, it's like a casual game or something, mm-hmm. you don't want 1,000 controls. You just want to have fun. That's mm-hmm. the point of this game, is to have fun. This is watching movies.
Right.
I'm not watching movies so that it's fun. It's not supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be entertaining in whatever way that movie is entertaining.
Browsing
movies is not fun.
Yeah,
right?
you don't watch movies to have fun. You watch them to keep Willie occupied.
Exactly. No, here, but it's like he's saying going to the video store is supposed to be fun. No, it's not. It's supposed to let you find the movie you want to watch so that you can have fun, so that you can entertain yourself.
And therefore, the experience becomes fun.
I'm not wowed by some Coverflow-looking thing on Xbox.
But hey, there's reflective floor, though, right?
That's true.
It's cool because it looks like the floor is glossy, like you can slide on it, you know?
And you can flip through all the choices, all 10 choices. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then, like, when you get to the end, it goes back to the first one.
Give me a break. It's so ridiculous. Well, it's like how Rumble is an last generation feature, you know? It's like, let's just explain something that we haven't done, we've been too lazy to do, and just say people don't really want that. People don't want to look at movies. People don't want to use Rumble.
People don't want a new look for Pac-Man and 2B Start, you know?
Yeah, people don't want that.
They don't want it.
Yeah, next week we'll be doing another Pac-Man comic.
Oh my gosh, could you imagine? Could you imagine?
I'm seriously going to think of a really good one that you won't be able to reject.
Oh man. Well, finally, we'd like to wrap up the show with Musical Misfits. Some great video game songs have been unintentionally ignored over time, and we play one in full after the show's over for those who still care about anything. I get to trade off every other week with our listeners' suggestions. You guys can enjoy my choice of the legendary theme from Guitaru Man. So, that will do it for this edition of 2B Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast. Just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
shopping lately, right?
For a ring?
Well, I'd like to have the engagement ring ready, you know?
Okay, good, good, good.
And basically, here's how I see it. Guys aren't real great with clothes, right?
No.
I think they could, like, stores could save guys a lot of time if they sold clothes like fireworks.
What?
Okay? You
bundle
have,
them
like,
up real tightly.
You have, like, the big, you have, like, the big ticket items, you know? But then you have, like, the variety pack, right?
Okay.
And what you can do is you get the, like, oh, here's the cool colored skater variety pack. And, like, anything that you mix and match in here will look good. So just put, you know, just buy this pack, and then you have the pants, you have the shirts, you have different kinds, just mix and match whatever you want. You're always good with that, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, yeah.
So if we come up with 6 Tupi Start t-shirt designs that all coordinate well, we can sell them in a pack, right?
That would actually be a pretty good idea, yeah.
Yeah.
It could be it's like the collector's edition.
Ah, yeah, that'd be cool.
It could come with a... an autographed Sonic hat, and
how much is this pack gonna cost? A couple $100, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, night vision goggles.